looking at the words in the life of Jesus. Isn't that great? I love that. You know, I love walking in this weather. Bring it on. As long as it's not pouring with rain and I come back looking like a soggy cat. But I love walking in this weather. I find it just invigorates me. And I was down at the beach yesterday afternoon praying for our service this morning. And, you know, I was down there and I was just thinking about this whole topic. And the reason why I have been so, just something in my spirit about today was because a situation actually occurred in our church about a year ago. Now, this is not a new situation. These situations happen quite regularly. But what happened was Pastor Charlie informed me of a beautiful family that had been coming to our church for some time, and they had left our church. And the reason that they had left our church was because they had gotten upset with someone else in their Connect group, and so they left. And I remember Pastor Charlie telling me this, and I'm going, what? Now, he didn't quite roll his eyes at me, but have you ever been in a situation you've got a teenage parents, if you've had teenagers or you've raised teenagers, and they look at you and they're like, oh, Mum, you know, like, what planet are you on? Well, that was sort of the look that Pastor Charlie gave me, like, Andrea, what planet are you on? I mean, people leave the church for that all the time. And I was going, no way. You don't do that. Who does that? He's going, they've just done that. I said, oh, okay then. You see, I was under the assumption that when you've been in church for a long time, as this family had, that you would have worked out somewhere when reading this that it's basic theology, basic Christianity about the whole area of offences and forgiveness, because it is actually at the foundation of Christian belief. And if you haven't jumped into Alpha, jump into Alpha. Pastor Charlie's running that at the moment. And the reason we run that was when we started our church 15 years ago, Fremantle had such an interesting mix of people. And people wanted to come to a new church because they wanted an amoral spirit. They wanted Christianity, but everything else had to go and to be included. And we said to them very clearly and early on in the piece, we said, we need to define our theology and what we believe on now, because that will be pushed and prodded and challenged over the course of the history of our church. And so if you're visiting with us, you'll find that in our visitors pack. We wanted to let you know what we believe. And what we believe is that God loves everyone. He loves everyone. That is unconditional. Someone spoke to me this week. They said, Andrea, I've really got an issue about homosexuality and how the church doesn't like homosexuals. I said, excuse me? I said, I like homosexuals. I said, excuse me? I said, the church doesn't like homosexuals. That's not right. I said, come on a minute. I said, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. I said, I love everyone. She says, I don't like it how the church doesn't like the environment. I said, I like the environment. I live in Fremantle. I love the environment. I think Christians love it. Recycle. But I love it. I said, God created the world and he said it was good. Why would I not like something that God didn't like or doesn't like? I love it. He created it. And so what we have to do is we have to be clear on our theology. Those things are important, but the theology we need to know is that Christ loves us. And Christ loved us so much that he gave his only son. That is the message of redemption. That is what hangs in the balance. Everything else is not as important as Christ dying on the cross and redeeming us. There are things in the Bible that we can argue about till the cows come home. I don't know. Did he create it in 6 days? Was it literal? I'm not sure. I think so, but I'm not sure. But I'm not going to hang my theology on it. What I'm going to hang my theology on is that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you and I. And the reason he did that was to reconcile you and I back to him. That was a loving God. Not a God of hate. He's a God of love. And why is it so important that I'm talking to you about this morning? Well, Jesus thought it was important because he said, this is how you need to pray. This is how you need to communicate to me and the Father. pray, God, forgive us our trespasses, just as we forgive those. Two things. First, relationship with God. Secondly, relationship to other people. Church, if we don't get this, we're going to go through our life offended. We're going to be offended in our relationships with our husbands, our wives, our children, our relatives, our boss, our community. We're going to be angry at the world because we feel offended, because we feel life is unfair. Well, thank God for Jesus Christ, because it was pretty unfair what happened to him. And I loved what Jane said. Jane said when Stephen was martyred, he said, God, forgive them. What a way to end your life. God, forgive them. What did Christ do on the cross? God, forgive them. And this morning we're going to look at the power of forgiveness in your life. If you can just grasp this one concept, this one principle of Christianity, I can tell you all will go well with your soul. There will be a joy in your heart. There will be a sweetness in your spirit where you go, you know what, God, I choose to forgive. You know, there are people here today, if you're anything like me, who's been around a long time and had a relationship with God a long time, that relationship has been tested. Like any relationship. Jean-Claude, I'm sure when you were in a refugee camp, your relationship with God at times was tested, because where was God? Heather Baker, I spoke to her this week, beautiful woman. I don't care if no one comes to the women's event, I'm going. She's a beautiful woman. Our relationship gets tested with God when bad things happen to us, when we see that we've been faithful. And I know personally I have been offended by or with God, to God, angry at God. I've said, this isn't fair. Why have you done this? I'm angry with you, God. No one else is like that, I know. I tell you, if you'd sent me to Nineveh, I would have sat under that tree and whinged as well. But you know what? There are people here that you're angry with God because you're disappointed. The promises you have not yet seen come to pass, and you've questioned, God, where are you in all of this? And we've been angry at God. I know I have in my Christian life. I'm sure if you were honest, you would as well. There are times where you've been hurt by other people. You have gone the injustice of that situation. And you've never had the opportunity to go back and say, you never heard my side of the story. I'm a pastor. That happens to me all the time. But you know what? I can say to you with absolute conviction that if you choose to forgive today, God is going to do something with your life. He is going to create a bigger person, because all it is about is our attitude to what life throws at us and how we respond. So let's go to Matthew 6, verse 14. When I was growing up as a child, I grew up in, I came from an Anglican background. God bless the Church of England. I'm so grateful for that foundation in my life. And when I was growing up, my parents taught me this prayer. But you see, I didn't realize that it was anything to do with relationship with God. As a child, I was taught to say it for my nightly prayers before I jumped into bed. So as a kid, I tried to pray it as quickly as possible so I could get into bed. No one else did that, did they? But I used to be terrified if I forgot to pray it. I was sure God was going to just kill me. It was like I was so scared. And so I'd jump out of bed and I'd say it, you know. And I reckon I could say this prayer in a couple of seconds. I used to race through it. But what we know now, or I know now as I've grown up, is this is not a prayer that we say rote praying. This is a prayer that God gave us for keys for our life. This is talking about relationship with God and relationship with others. And Pastor Nigel talked last week on Give Us Our Daily Bread, which was phenomenal. And John Nashaw, you are not a meat and potatoes man. You were fillet steak, wasn't he? Amazing last week with soap. Jane, you were amazing today. And so Matthew 6, verses 12, I think, because I'm going off my notes and I haven't found it. Is it 12 or 14? It says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or the New Living Translation says, forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. So we're going to get through this huge topic in the next few minutes. Now, I believe that these are some of the hardest scriptures to pray because they cover two interlinked issues. One, God's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of other people. Again, I'm going to treat you as if you don't know anything. And I apologize for those of you that do know this. But I decided that since I'm not sure where you're at in your Christian journey, I thought it would be good revision. I am doing two exams this week and I have to do lots of revision. So I thought you could do a bit of revision with me this week. Actually, I wrote a great essay on communism. We'll stop right there. Actually, I'll just run that. I will have an intermission. Do you know that, if anyone's done communism, Karl Marx, founder of communism, he believed that Christianity or religion was basically for the masses. It was for the uneducated. Did you know that? So basically, you know, it was only the illiterate and uneducated that sort of grasped onto God. But as you got more mature and you got more educated, you'd sort of give that away, right? Well, I just read a report this week on the church in Australia. Now, the church in Australia actually has more educated people in it. So I thought, oh, well, that's 150 years later, we've all gotten educated. More people attend church with a university degree than outside in the community, which means we've got to then go get the tradesmen in. But isn't that interesting, that shift in 150 years? So we're not all stupid, is my point. We're actually intelligent. All intelligent. Actually, I've got a school photo of my daughter here in my Bible. Right. Okay, moving right along. But look, I think it's good to go back and revisit what we believe and what does it mean to be forgiven by God. And various translations of the Bible refer to this passage as trespasses, as I've already said in my prayer, or debts, offences, or sins. But the most accurate translation is actually sin. And in the New Testament, the main idea behind the term to sin is to miss the target or to fall short. Now, the sense of the other words, debts, expand on this, to have debts is to owe someone something you cannot repay, to trespass is to cross a boundary that you shouldn't have, to offend is to injure or hurt someone. And all these words are used to describe the standing of human beings before God. And that is that we've fallen short of the target that God has set us. We've incurred debts to him that we cannot repay. We've strayed into places we shouldn't have gone, all down that. All broken the boundaries that he's defined, and we have offended God's gentle, caring, and loving nature toward us. And ultimately, sin needs removing because it's the barrier between ourselves and God, and it is not us but God who pays the debt and removes the sin. And God's forgiveness involves him taking away our sin with the purpose of restoring our relationship with him. If God's love had not desired that the relationship with us be restored, Christ would not have gone to the cross. That is a very important statement. You know, we can often think that sin doesn't apply to us. You know, it's a word that we sort of don't use much these days. And often I've heard people say to me, you know, I'm a good person. I haven't done anything bad or wrong. But the Bible describes sin as many things. Sin can be laziness, envy, betrayal, cowardice, hypocrisy, selfishness, arrogance, deception, rage, gossip, worship of other things, worship of possessions, worship of activities, and so on. And the more our lives are consumed by these things, the less room there is for God's characteristics to come through, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. You know, the more sin in our lives, the less we are drawn to God. We lose the passion for God. And yet sinful behavior can bring so much damage into our lives and to those around us. And again, as a pastor, I can tell you it brings a lot of damage. And so through repentance, we're reconciled back to God. Again, a word that we don't use this much these days because nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions. We often want to blame our family of origin. We want to blame our circumstances. We even blame the government. But for forgiveness to be effected, we need to acknowledge that we have fallen far short of where we need to be. And what that means is saying, you know what? I choose to take responsibility for my actions and my behavior. And the moment that we do that, God's forgiveness is released. Now, repentance is a doorway. You don't stay there. We say sorry and we move through it. And guilt isn't where God wants you to live. And forgiveness isn't a feeling either. You may have asked God to forgive you, but you don't feel it. But the fact is, that's not your reality. Your reality is that God has forgiven you, and that is through the Word of God. 1 John 1:9 says that God is faithful and He is just to forgive us and cleanse us from all wrongdoing. What about our forgiveness of others? So the first dimension of forgiveness is God's forgiveness of us. And the second is our forgiveness of others. And the New Testament is plain that the children of a forgiving God will show their Father's characteristic of forgiveness. And if you come with me to the end of Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, we're going to read some very sobering scriptures. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ouch. If we were to jump over to Matthew 18, Jesus gives up another story. He tells of the story of a king, and someone is brought before the king that owes the king a lot of money. And there is no way that this person can repay the debt to the king. And the king, in a moment of graciousness, says, I choose to forgive you your debt. Go. So that person walks out, but then decides to extort money out of somebody else who owed him a very small amount. And so he finds the person that owes him a small amount of money, and he goes to them and he says, I want this money. You're to give it to me. Well, one of the king's workers sees this situation and goes back and reports it to the king. And the king is so angry at what has just occurred that he brings this person back in and says to him, how could you do such a thing? Here am I who have forgiven you so much debt, and yet here are you with only a small amount of debt and you're choosing not to forgive it. And Jesus uses this as an analogy for how much His Son has forgiven us and what it has cost God to forgive us. And yet when we choose not to forgive people, we are in effect placing ourselves into the same situation as the person who chose not to forgive a small amount. And God doesn't like that. And so it's quite sobering. And God's saying, hey, I've forgiven your sins. How about forgiving everybody who sinned against you? And the thing is, the Lord's Prayer is so important because it's something we need to do on a daily basis. Every day you're going to get offended. I just have to drive from, at the moment we're renting in Hammy Hill, from Hammy Hill to Mosman Park to drop my daughter off to school, and I will be offended in peak hour traffic. My goodness, I tell you. And I'm one of the guilty ones too. I'm sure I offend a lot of people as I'm driving along. I saw a lady the other day driving with two cats in the car. What's that about? What's that about? It was Fremantle. I'm going, why do you not do that in Mosman Park? Why Fremantle? You always got that stigma of weird. Wonderful. It's like, do it in Mosman Park. There you'd be called eccentric. Fremantle, you're called weird. Aren't you? Don't get that out in your suburbs, do you, Kathy? So, very, very suburban and middle class and very, very proper. Kathy's got a beautiful house out there. It's good. Actually, great things are happening in our kids' ministry. I didn't tell you that, did I? Cindy Kawana is transitioning back into kids ministry after a 6 month rest, and that's very exciting. But in that time, what normally happens if you've got a key leader of a position, you'd probably know this at work if any of your bosses have ever had to step out. If that person steps out of a position, normally what happens is things will just plateau or they'll decrease. Productivity will decrease. Well, I am so proud to say that the amazing people in our kids ministry have not only got behind Cindy, but Kathy has also stepped in. And if anything, our kids ministry is pumping and growing. So isn't that a credit to that team? Isn't that just amazing? Yeah, give them a hand. So much so that we've just been looking at a few things to do just in the second half of this year is we're just wanting to just make some changes. And one of those is that bit of black bits going. But anyway, that's got to go. But that's going to be our nursing mum's room, because we've got some mums that are having babies or have got little ones that need to feed. And then we've got our kids cafe is going to be open. There's a TV in there now. So if you've got anyone, a little bubby under two and a half, you can go in there. And then from 2.5 up, we're going to now go into 3 different classes for different age ranges. So we're going to make our age ranges smaller, because we've got more children. Isn't that exciting? And you get to be involved. Yay! If you are a parent here today and you're not involved in any part of C3 and in using your giftings to build God's house, you can go on a parent roster. Sounds like school, doesn't it? And we'll be popping you on one of those. I'm sure it won't be very often if everyone just says, yep, I'm going to be a part of that. And you get to help do all the stuff that they do. Kath, we won't make them sing or dance or just cut out. And Cindy, what will we do? Yeah, she's going to make them do everything. But we'll let you know more about that. So I think that's just so exciting about what's happening in our kids' ministry. Being a child of kids ministry, I am so glad that I got to come to church and to kids ministry. You know, my observation is that after, as I said, 35 years in church, that unforgiveness would have to be the biggest reason why people get their life in God and the church messed up. And that is because they get offended and they will not let it go. And it becomes a grudge, becomes a cause. You'll find that they will then hook up with other people in the church and the poison starts to spread. And the only way to get it out is forgiveness. Now, I am putting in a disclaimer in that to say that that doesn't mean that the problem is not justifiable or there has been a situation where you have been hurt. I'm not trying to in any way suggest that things don't happen. But the reality is it's going to happen here. And if we don't get it right here, we're not going to get it right out there. You are not going to be the solution out there if you can't work it out in here. And so this is why it's so important that God said that we needed to do this daily, because every day we're going to get offended. And there isn't a person in this room that hasn't been hurt by someone. But I want to say today, it's time to forgive. It's time to forgive. If you don't, you'll get sick, you'll get better. And God says you'll actually get tormented. It's not very good, is it? And you know what makes you nuts? Is the person that's hurt your feelings, they're having a wonderful time. They don't even know that that's what's happened. You know, someone said to me recently, you know, I'd offended them. You've been staying in this church for a long time. That's not going to take long. I said to him, why don't you tell me? If I'd known, I immediately would have apologized. I'm so sorry. I said, why did you carry that around? I said, just come and tell me. I'd be cute after church. Actually, it's all right. Just forgive me. Forgive me. Right, there we go. It's all done. Right, moving on. So it's good. But it's time to forgive. And what God says is to be bigger than our enemies. Be the bigger man, be the bigger woman. And he knows what he's talking about. You see, he had to watch us kill his son. He didn't turn around and say, blow him up, let's wipe him out. He said, no, they don't know what they're doing. And so many things are going to stretch our attitude to the limit And how many times have you and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I really do hate them. How long, God? Not you. I'm not talking about you. I don't hate you. God is saying, well, until I can get you to the point where you don't hate them and the love of God is full in your heart, it's going to be hard. You know, I was listening to a message of Dr. Pringle when I was away a few weeks ago on the very subject we're talking about, forgiveness. And he said this amazing statement that I've chosen to adopt. Nothing new under the sun, they say. If you hear something smart, just grab it. That's what I reckon. And what he was saying that he says this every day, and I've chosen to do that. He says, I forgive everybody everything they have ever done to me. And he says that every single day. He said, it's not that they don't owe me an apology. It's not that they haven't offended me, but I am making the choice that no one owes me anything. I'm choosing every day to forgive everybody, everything they've ever done. You know, this morning, we're going to say that. Then we're going to say it again. And you need to mumble very quietly. You might need to put someone's name in there. I forgive my husband everything he's ever done to me. Where's my beautiful teenagers? You need to forgive mum and dad. I forgive mum and dad. We forgive you on a daily basis, let me tell you. I'll tell you. How hard is it to put the cereal away? Flip. I forgive. What about a family member? What about a family member? I still to this day get surprised by so much pain in families. Just choose to forgive. Doesn't mean you have to be their best friend. Choose to forgive. Doesn't mean you have to like people, but choose to forgive. There are people here that are divorced and you are carrying heavy scars. Choose to forgive. People here that have been hurt, abused by parents, and I'm talking serious abuse, choose to forgive. Is it easy? No. There are members of our church that have suffered terrible atrocities and witnessed incredible evil that we will never understand. Choose to forgive. Now, what we do is we start that process by saying, God, I'm choosing to forgive. And it may take time, but I believe as we start that process, God will help us. Okay, let's say it together. Let me just tell you again. I forgive everybody everything they've ever done to me. Are we ready? I forgive everybody everything they've ever done to me. Just take a moment, and is there someone in particular you need to forgive? We're going to say, I forgive that person, everything they have ever done to me. Let's say it again. I forgive everything they have ever done to me. So what happens is when we do that, we start to initiate something. Catherine, stay in here, darling. We can leave the bookshop. What we're doing is we are initiating something. By making that choice, what we're now doing is we're bringing the Holy Spirit into the equation to now start to work on our heart and our attitude. So we bring the power of the Holy Spirit into it. By choosing to verbalize that, we start to initiate God's power to help you to forgive. So Peter struggled with this. He said, God, how many times do I need to forgive? God says 70 times 7. Keep doing it, Peter. Keep doing it until you get that point of release. And the way you'll know that you've got release is, one, is joy will come back into your heart. You'll feel the weight lifting off you. And joy will come back into your heart and you'll be able to think about that person without the same degree of pain. Be like a scar. It's always there, but it's been healed. And so you can know that. And so what I have found, if the hurt is deep, is that it will be a process of forgiveness. I will have to keep going through that. Might be every day for a season where I will go, God, bless that person. Bless them, God. God, I just pray that I just want to release that hurt. And slowly I will find I'll get a release. The smaller the hurt, the quicker it is. The deeper the hurt, the longer it is. You see, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. God was forgiving us before we said sorry. And that means you may never forget. As I said, there is incredible evil and hurt that people have had to go through on both sides. You have caused hurt, but you've also endured it. And I don't want to be flippant, but with Christ's help, if you choose to let it go, you will heal. And the devil will try to bring it up and up and up again, but just keep going back and offering forgiveness. Just in the last 3 minutes, I want to conclude with these thoughts. And these are the words of Jesus. I didn't write them. In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, this is huge. Jesus said, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And why this is so sobering is that every week we come into the house of God. Now, don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, it's not that you've got to be perfect to come into the house, but often we'll come into the house of God and we'll worship God. And there are things in our heart that we are choosing not to reconcile. And God is saying, you're offering to me, I want you to do this. I want you to bring reconciliation into someone's life. And so what I love about the house of God is God will, you know, as we worship God, as we're praying in the week, and as we're reading the word, as we're doing our soap, as we're coming into the house of God, God will often say, hey, you didn't do that well with that person. And God is saying, your offerings are awesome. I love your offerings, but I need you to reconcile with people. I need you to go and bring healing into someone's life. If they have something against you, they're the ones that are offended. They're offended. You've offended them. It's not us waiting here for an apology. God says, you go to them. Be the bigger person. Go and work it out. But then he goes on in Matthew 18. If another believer sins against you, verse 15, sins against you, now you've incurred the offense. Go privately, and point out the fault. And if the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. What God is saying there is he's saying there are times in relationships where you need someone to mediate for you. The situation is so painful. Take someone. Don't take someone who's... If you really want it to work well, take someone that's impartial. Because at the very core is our love for one another. Where we go, you know what? This situation hurt me. And we want to see people reconciled. So what God is saying is he's not diminishing the hurt. He's saying, I want you to work it out. Both if you've been offended or you have offended, God says reconciliation is the key. That is the foundation of Christianity. As Christ was reconciling us back to him. First is God's forgiveness of us, reconciliation of us, of God and us, and then secondly, reconciliation of each other. You know, I'm so naive. I wonder how many wars would not be fought if we could just forgive. And yet we sow generations of hate into our children, generations of offense. because a brother or a sister offended us? How many people aren't in the house of God today because they're hurt? And God says, I've given you the key. I gave it to you at the cross, and it still remains. The heart of Christianity is to love and then to reconcile. Love. And so this morning, this is probably the most sobering part of the Lord's Prayer. God says there is a responsibility that we all have to not hurt. But if we do, we need to ask forgiveness. Can I say today, please, please forgive God. I can tell. I can see it. Sometimes the pain I can see in your eyes because you're angry at God. You're like, God, this is not fair. You're disappointed and you're hurt. And you're hanging on to your salvation just by a thread. You're hanging on. Maybe you did something that you're so ashamed of. God says, I forgive you. I forgive you. My grace is for all of us. Don't let your hurt or disappointment push you out of relationship with God. I find it the hardest thing to forgive myself for the things that I have done wrong. But it is in faith through Christ I have decided to believe God, that He forgives me, that He loves me, that He is gracious to me, that He wants nothing more but to be in relationship with me. Why don't we close our eyes for a moment? You know, what I'm saying today will be very hard to accept if you are away from God. If maybe you're here, there are people in church this morning that have been coming for a season, and I would say that you may be far from God. You're hanging on by a thread. I want to say this morning, it's okay. God loves you. He wants nothing more but to have relationship. And there are people today that you are battle weary. There has been stuff that has gone down. You've gone, my God, if I don't find answers, I don't know what I'll do. I want to say today, the answer is here. All you need to do is say, God, I want you in my life. That's it. The rest will come later. You need to do one thing. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer and you're going to put your hand up and you're going to say, God, yep, that's me. Young man did that last week. Just about every week, someone in here will say, I need Christ. Or they'll go, you know what, I'm actually far away from you, God. You may give every appearance today of being a fine, upstanding man or woman, but your heart is far from God. Please respond. Please respond. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I accept today what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done on the cross. I receive your forgiveness for the things that I have done wrong. And I make a choice today to come into relationship with you. I accept what you have done. I'm forgiven, and I choose today to forgive others. Come into my life right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just while you've got your eyes closed, your head bowed, just put your hand up. That was you. You need to come back to Christ. You don't know Jesus Christ. Just pop your hand up. Just going to give it a minute. Anyone here? Right now. I don't want anyone to not experience the love and grace of God? Is there anyone here at all? Anyone? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Is there anyone? I'm just going to give it one more minute. Anyone at all? Thank you, God. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, God. I know that I have opened up wounds today. I have not found this easy to talk. I would love to stand with you and pray that God will start the process of healing. Or if you just want to come and just say, Andrea, I want to forgive that person, I need help. Why don't you come as well? And, you know, this isn't just a girl thing. There are real men here today that just nail that sucker for the sake of your families. Just nail it. And if you want to, I want to pray with you. I just believe all morning God has just been preparing us for this. There are people that have come from other cultures where you have seen horrific things, and both sides. I'm not getting into any of that. But if you have, and you need healing from that, you know, every person, it's different. When I was in Liberia, they said to me, Andrea, the Truth and Reconciliation Report had just been released. They said, Andrea, would you forgive or would you have justice? I said, far out. I said, it depends. If you can forgive, forgive. If you need justice, everyone is different. There are processes for that. And so today we want to work on the forgiveness part and let God worry about justice being done. You just forgive. So if you need to come forward today, come and do that. And I'm going to dismiss you because we're over time. And if you're a guest, we'd love you to stay and have a cuppa with us. And God bless you. Come forward. I want to pray. And see you at Connect Group next week. Girls, you know where to get your tickets. Love you heaps. Forgive me heaps.